May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn 739. I realise, friends, we sang this morning, but it was laid on my spirit yesterday, and though I've sought the Lord for another one, I do not get it. I feel we have to sing this one again. 739. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. 739.
Thank you.
from God's holy word. Our reading is Psalms 61 and 62. Psalms 61 and 62. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us and help Benji to pray.
O Lord, do come now and grant us to truly feel thy presence and thy help as we are once more gathered in thy house. O Lord, that we might possess that right spirit, that true desire to worship thee. For Lord, all things come from thee. Thou art all powerful, thou who knowest all things. O Lord, our eyes are up unto thee this night to come and be our helper. Lord, we desire to come confessing our sins with that right spirit of humility. Oh, that we might truly seek thee, to know the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, that we have that interest in thy blood. Oh, that thou hast washed away our sins and made us clean. Oh, that thou hast prepared us for eternity. Oh, Lord, are they truly our heart's desire to know this, to know that we are in thee. Lord, that we might truly know that my beloved is mine and I am his. What more can we desire? O Lord, do help us then and come and increase our faith to truly trust in thee. For thou alone must do it all. For, O Lord, we can do nothing of ourselves. We feel our total insufficiency for all these things. But Lord, our eyes are upon thee. Oh, that we might be as we've just read and truly trust ye people at all times. Oh, our Lord, how often we turn away from thee and trust in ourselves or in something base. But Lord, do enable us, do turn us again, draw us by thy power to trust in thee and to look to thee for all our help. For, O Lord, thou knowest how each one is found here in thy house this night. Thou knowest all the desires, all the exercises, all the trials and all the troubles, all the difficulties. All is open and known unto thee. And we do pray that thou wilt send a word this night, that thy word might truly be made powerful in the hearts of one and another. Lord, that thou wilt make it suitable for each case, for thou only art able to do these things. Lord, a word of help or a word of direction, thou knowest the need. Lord, or a word to know that thou art the Saviour of sinners. Oh, bring us into it, that we might truly praise thy name and give thee all the honour and all the glory. Lord, we do pray then, thou wilt make thy word effectual, that thou wilt cause that word we hear week by week. Oh, Lord, may it not be just tradition. We need thee to make it powerful in our hearts, each one of us. For, O Lord, thou knowest, each of us face an ever-ending eternity. And, Lord, we pray for each one. There are those in old age, but, Lord, it is often said, the old must die, but the young may die. Lord, we know not who among us will be the next. Oh, may we truly tremble before thee and seek thy mercy. Oh, Lord, do remember then each one in their various needs. Many needs unknown to another creature, but all known unto thee. We do pray that thou wilt give a word of direction to those that need it, those that are truly seeking thee. And Lord, that we each might be truly submissive to thy will. For, O Lord, how we often sing, we seek thy will but find our own is working still. Our Lord, do enable us then to truly confess our sins and to come with that humble, contrite spirit before Thee. O Lord, we would pray for Thy servants. Thou dost send them week by week. And Lord, we would remember those times when Thou hast truly been their helper and Thou hast sent those words in season. May we not be forgetful of these things and grant us a thankful heart for them. That, Lord, we do pray that Thou will go on and that Thou will help each one as they come and send that word, O Lord, that Thou wilt use by Thy Holy Spirit to the good of never dying souls. Lord, that Thy name might be truly praised in this house still. O Lord, and we do desire that we might pray truly, rightly for a pastor, if it can be Thy will. Lord, enable us to bring it unto Thee, to seek to know Thy will in these things. For, O Lord, we know not, but we do desire to seek Thee for it. Have mercy then upon us and help us still. And, Lord, we would desire to pray for all Thy servants that are in sickness and trouble at this time. Oh, that Thou wilt remember them where they are, and that Thou wilt grant those healing mercies, raise them up again if it can be Thy will. And we do pray that Thou wilt send forth others into Thy vineyard. For, Lord, we read that the harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Do have mercy then upon us, and raise up truly sent servants. And Lord, we desire to remember our country before Thee. What can we do but truly confess our sin before Thee? Lord, we are part of it. Do then in wrath remember mercy. And we do pray that if it can be Thy will, Thou wilt raise up men with Thy fear in their hearts, men that know what to do, to turn unto Thee, to look unto Thee. Do, Lord, remember us. Left to ourselves, we think of these things as impossible. But, oh, that we might have that faith in our hearts to look to Thee. For, Lord, all men's hearts are in Thy hand. We do desire, then, that Thou wilt remember this land for good. And, O Lord, as we look forward to this week, do have mercy upon us as we look to the visit of the Pope. O Lord, we do pray that Thou wilt overturn, if it can be Thy will. But, Lord, if not, we do pray that Thou wilt use it to the good of never dying souls. O Lord, remember us in mercy and help us still. We do now pray that Thou wilt remember our brother, O Lord, in reading those things preached in times past. Do grant that they might be with power, that Thou wilt bring them alive once more, and that Thou wilt truly use them. Do then help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed. Have mercy on us now, as we seek the forgiveness of our sins, that Thou wilt come over the poverty of our prayers and grant us a blessing this night. Lord, we seek these things for Thy great name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 964. If to Thee I breathe my prayer, Lord, wilt thou not deign to hear? Shall I seek, but seek in vain? Shall I ask and not obtain? Hymn 964. Helping me, I will read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Pocock. You will find the words of the text in Psalm 62 and the 8th verse. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. These psalms were originally sung, and the word Selah indicates a pause in the singing. The Holy Spirit there signifying something of particular weight. Though all scripture is important, yet some words of particular importance. Some words the Lord will have his people particularly consider. And oh, may the Holy Spirit write Selah in our heart concerning this word. Why the need of it? It is a well-known word. And perhaps we may say, oh yes, we know that word. But the important thing is not whether we know what it means, but whether we are found in the exercise of it. whether we are found not only hearers of the word, but doers. That hearer to whom the Lord effectually says, Selah, will be made a doer of the word. They asked the Lord Jesus on one occasion, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And he said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Precious faith. And this is what this text speaks of. Faith in God. Trust. David, who by the Spirit penned this psalm, begins it with a testimony of his own trust. That is, that which God had given him. It was not his own, in that he could of himself trust in God. His history, as it is recorded in the Word of God, plainly shows it was not David himself, of his own power, who was able to trust in God, only as the Lord brought him to it. For left to himself, he does not trust in God, but says, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. He thought that there was nothing better for him to do than that, but that was not God's thought. Yet, oh, the mercy of God, as Paul wrote, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. But, sinner, the faithfulness of God toward you, if you are a child of God, will be manifest as it was toward David. When you trust not the Lord, he will cause you to smart for it. He will bring you to a Ziklag. He will bring you to the place where in your grief and sorrow you weep till you have no more power to weep, and all those around you speak of stoning you. But in your extremity, when you have been, by the Lord's teaching, chastening, wounding and smiting, brought to the end of your saying, I will do this, then you will be brought to the Lord. What wilt thou have me to do? Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord said unto David, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. But David, as in other places and other psalmists, he speaks with his own soul. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Do we know anything of the Lord causing us, as it were, to commune with our own heart? This may sound mysterious. It will be, unless you know something of it yourself. You will say, how can you commune with yourself? It is when there is that wrought by the Lord within you, so that you are brought up from that place. Perhaps you were in despair, grief, sorrow, hopelessness, coming to the end. There is no work of faith going on in your soul. There is no combating of the assaults of the adversary. There are fears, darkness, dismay. Until the Lord comes. You know, his coming to his people Oh, it is not always in great revelations. Though the least truth that is savingly revealed to his people is in that sense a great revelation. But in those comings, a change, a lifting up of the eye of the soul, a bringing of the sinner up, and a causing them to commune with their own heart. My soul, wait thou only upon God. The Lord prompting the sinner to this, look up, poor sinner, wait thou only upon God, poor sinner. Now, since David is led by the Spirit in this exercise concerning his own case, it is God's purpose that he should be of use to others. Oh, may we yet know this among us. May this favour yet be granted to the church militant upon the earth, where the Lord is working in one and another's heart. Of course, this must be so in the case of every true sent servant of his, but it is also true in the case of private Christians. We read in the Word, in a time of trouble and distress, the Lord yet moving in the hearts of the remnant. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. We read of David at one time when he was in distress, threatened sorely by Saul, and he was in that wood. And Jonathan went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Oh, notice the precious language of the scripture. It was not Jonathan going to David, encouraging him with a mere natural friendship. It was not Jonathan going unto David and saying unto him, it will be all right. He strengthened his hand in God. Oh, then may it be so even unto us now, as through his servant David those words have been recorded by the Lord and brought down miraculously, even to this far distant age. Heaven and earth, said the Lord, shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. When David said, at all times, he was speaking the word of the Lord, not his own. Christ said unto his people, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Trust in him at all times. Almighty God, trust in him. On what ground is a sinner brought to trust in God? Upon what he has said. For his word is the declaration of his will. His word is the means whereby he reveals himself to his people. It is a trust which is not founded upon what nature can understand or receive. It is upon what the Lord makes known to that person of himself. His word, what he, the eternal God, has spoken. But who to? As the text speaks here, ye people, sinners, made sensible of their sinnership. And what is that teaching concerning a sinner's sinful condition? Oh, they do need a great and a complete salvation. There is one thing the conviction of sin by the Holy Spirit makes known in a sinner's heart. It is this: their complete untrustworthiness. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm. He shall be like the heath in the desert. A heath is a tree denuded of all its leaves, a skeleton of a tree, dead. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters. He shall not cease from yielding fruit. He shall not be careful in the year of drought, because that one, the Lord in whom he trusts, is the source of all that sinner's fruitfulness, life and vitality, which is set forth by a tree planted by the waters. Trust in him. Neither is there salvation in any other. This was the ministry of the apostles, as it is recorded in the Acts. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Ye people, that feelingly lost people, that feelingly guilty, undone people, oh, that people who know and feel in their heart the emptiness, the guiltiness, the helplessness, the foolishness, the impotence, the weakness, the danger they are in, trust in him. He who is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Not only almighty in power, but infinite in wisdom and boundless in his grace. That sinner, that people who feelingly know their own folly, oh, here is trust. Until we know our own folly, we shall not be brought to trust in the wisdom of God, which is Christ. But when that sinner knows, as the hymn writer put it, I ever into ruin run, my heart, as Jeremiah confessed, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, then, oh, the wisdom of God, oh, to be nothing before him, this trust. A sinner that trusts in him is brought to venture the whole of their salvation on Almighty God. Now what a blessed, sure foundation the Lord lays, upon which this people are brought to build their hope for a never-ending eternity, and for all their pathway in this waste howling wilderness. Is there anything that the Lord God Almighty hath said he will not do for his people? Is there any part of their salvation which he has not said he will accomplish? Is there any part of that salvation which he has said that they must do for themselves? Is there any part of that righteousness which they must have to be right in his sight and to be accepted by him that he requires of them? No, no. Trust in him who hath in his everlasting covenant promised to be all in all unto his people and to do all for them. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. Trust in him, in that love, the everlasting love of God toward his people, that is the foundation of all that he has said he will do for them. Oh, that sinner who fears, who trembles, who knows in their own heart that there is nothing that could possibly cause God to do anything for them on the ground of their merit. Ye people who are like that publican brought up by the Lord to the temple to pray. There was one, you see, who went up trusting in himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. But there was one who went up trusting in the Lord. There was trust in exercise. He that would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Trust. Oh, it speaks then of the exercise of the soul, looking right out of self unto the Lord. Trust in him. God, be merciful. Be merciful. Not save me, Lord, because I am like this. Not save me because of my desires, because of my confessions, because of my repentance, because of my faith, because of my understanding. But Lord, save me for thy name's sake. Trust in him. This trust then, it concerns the accomplishment of something. There will be no trusting in God until he has made you feel in your heart that you do have a tremendous matter that you need accomplished for you. And you are brought to the point that you find, I cannot begin to touch that matter. I do not understand it. Are there those here tonight? And the Lord is bringing you deeper and deeper into a consciousness of your undone condition. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. You are having to unlearn so much of what you have learned the wrong way. You are having to be shown your error, your deceit, your wrongness in so many ways in which you thought you were right. And you are brought to the point where you feel, well, I do not know anything. At all times, does the Lord say in his word that he will not save the sinner because they know nothing? He does not say that. No. This man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him. Trust in him. Oh, his love toward his people is such. His determination to save them is such. His wisdom in all the appointed plan of his for his own honour and glory and his church's complete salvation. It is bound up in all his counsels, the appointment of his Son. In him, life. In him righteousness, in him redemption, in him justification, sanctification, in him all needed help, strength proportioned to the day, deliverance from temptation. Oh, trust in him who spared not his own son. This God, who will have this people saved, he will have this people perfect in his sight. He will have this people snatched as brands from the burning. He will have this people all their sin forgiven. He will not let one of this people be held forever in the snares of sin and of death and of Satan. He will not let any foe overcome one of this people. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David, a man after mine own heart. And surely the Lord speaks there of a greater than of the David who was the penman of this psalm, that glorious Redeemer, that one to whom the beggars begged, those who were by the wayside, when he passed by, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Trust in him. Trust in him. You see, when the Lord speaks, trust in him, he will in the speaking give that sinner a measure of faith in him. It is not a leap in the dark. It is not just a vain, empty trust. No, the hymn in the text, no one will ever be able to fully describe him. It is the unsearchable riches of Christ. But sinner, oh yes, even concerning this, your wicked heart and Satan may say, but oh, I do not feel to know this one properly. Do you know anything of him? Poor sinner, in this matter of trust in him, throw not away, as it were, the least glimpse of him. Discard not, oh, Satan will have you discarded, because his intention continually is to keep sinners from trusting in Christ, the least glimpse of him. What is that? Surely, concerning this sinner, why, is it not bound up in his name? He shall save his people from their sins. Now concerning your case, trembling, helpless sinner tonight, in danger, distress, and need, oh, is your case outside that word that is set forth there? He shall save his people from their sins. But you will say, at this time, I am hard-hearted. Trust in him. Trust in him. Has he not said he will take that hard heart away? At this time you might feel so ignorant, feel to know nothing. Has he not said, all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children? At this time you might find that there is nothing right in you. That is the truth. Oh, that the Lord might bring us here. Trust in him. Here is the direction. Surrounded with foes, yea, foes within, sins, guilt, the condemnation of the law, God making known to you your wrongness, your weakness, your insufficiency. What is his purpose in it? if he comes to you by his word and saith to your soul, trust in him at all times, there is his purpose. That is why he is showing you things clearly and more clearly that you cannot trust in yourself. But here is one who hath engaged by covenant. Now it is upon his promises, it is upon what his word says, the poor sinner trusts. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, saith the psalmist. Trust in him. But I cannot see in me, says this sinner, any reason whatever why the Lord should have a favour toward me. No, if you could, you would be trusting in yourself. Trust in him, that he will for his name's sake, not for your name's sake, for his name's sake, save you. Unto his people Israel he said, I do not this for your sakes, but for mine holy name's sake. Trust in him. My mind goes to the words of the apostle in his desire as he came to the end of his pilgrimage. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended. I press toward the mark. And what is that mark? That I may win Christ and be found in him. In him. Trust in him. Desiring, seeking, pleading to be found in him, in his righteousness to be presented faultless, in him, oh, to be swallowed up in him. Trust in him at all times, at all times. Oh, there is no time wherein the church hath not need to be found trusting in him. There is no time when they are safe in any other posture. Oh, when in the depths of trouble, feelingly, if they trust in themselves to bring them out of it is vain. If they trust in another man to bring them out of it is vain. And in a time of prosperity, if they trust in themselves to maintain that place, it is vain. At all times. The just, we read, shall live by faith. Again, the apostle's words, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, at all times. Oh, that the Lord might really effect this in your hearts and in your lives, so that you are made to feel your helplessness so much and so continually, that you cannot do anything throughout the course of the day without the Lord's help. I was reading an extract from James Vaughan's writings recently, and he says, I cannot eat and drink without the Lord. Oh, the Lord was so great in his soul's view. He was so conscious of his sinfulness and helplessness that he realized that except the Lord be with him, what an empty matter it would be, eating and drinking. Do you know what it is to feel the pain of coming to the point of realizing, oh, you have gone before the Lord. You have gone through a period of time, and there has not been any faith in exercise upon the Lord. There has not been any thought upon his name. There has not been any blessed meditation on him. Now I believe trust in him at all times speaks of that very exercise. When that poor sinner comes into this time of distress, darkness, guilt, oh, how are they to come out of it? Trust in him at all times. He who is able to bring a poor sinner out of that horrible pit and that miry clay and set their feet upon the rock. Trust in him at all times, ye people, ye people. To the one who even this evening says, but am I one of the people? How shall you know, ye people? Well, is your case concerning your need described in his word? When the Lord speaks to his people, in the way he speaks to his people and addresses them, does he speak to your case? Does that word bring you in? Does it bring you in not only in the first place as describing your case, the needy, the sinful, the foolish, the ignorant, the guilty, the tempest-tossed, the weary, the fearful? But does his word bring you in that second way, when that word drops with a little power into your heart, so you are brought in not only by the description, but by the application of that word? Ye people, pour out your heart before him. Pour out your heart. Whatever is deeply troubling, whatever is in your innermost soul, whatever is in your heart, the things that will be poured out. That word pour, does it not speak of that which flows out? This that is poured out is when something is tipped up and that which is in that vessel just flows out. Not necessarily orderly, no, it just pours out. Ah, perhaps you are distressed because you feel unable to orderly express your case before the Lord. God does not require that. Pour out. Now, what is in this heart concerning this exercise of trusting him? Firstly, the fear, the anxiety, the questions. Pour out. Oh, how we fill our fellow creature's ear with the sad tale of all our woe. The hymn writer said, were half the breath thus vainly spent, to heaven in supplication sent, your cheerful song would oftener be, hear what the Lord has done for me. Pour out your heart. Now the precious point is this, whatever is troubling the heart of this sinner, even the very question, well, am I one of the Lord's people? Lord, am I one of those for whom thou hast sent thy Son? Am I one of those whom thou hast chosen in thy Son with an everlasting salvation? Pour out your heart. Where can that question be answered but by the Lord himself? Your heart, oh, the sin, the worldliness, pride, lust, deceit, carnality, whatever it is in your heart that you are convinced of, pour out your heart. Oh, you know, I am sure the Lord's people would be ashamed to tell anyone else of their sins. God does not require that. But oh, in this matter of sin against God, he requires not that sinner to confess those things before men. Pour out your heart before him. Before him. Oh, this load of fear, of guilt, of distress. Before him. And what is the exercise in pouring out before him? Is it that he will put things right for you? Is there anyone else can? Is there anyone else can answer that question? Forgive those sins. Pour out your heart before him. He kindly listens while they tell the bitter pangs they feel within. Pour out your heart, a compassionate God. Oh, Paul speaks concerning this one who sits upon the throne of grace. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And he puts that forward as the ground. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Pour out your heart before him. When? Trust in him at all times, at that time when your heart is feelingly full. You know this sinner cannot always pour out their heart. When is it? It is when the Lord comes to them in effect with this truth. Trust in him at this time, sinner. Oh, perhaps you would say, oh, when I get back home, when I get in quietness, then I must seek the Lord. My dear friend, probably when you get back home and when you get in supposed quietness, all that exercise of seeking the Lord will be gone. At the time when this motion of the Spirit is upon your spirit, you might be in the midst of your family, in the midst of your attending to that calling that the Lord has put you in, whether it be in business or in caring for the family that are at home, or those of you in retirement, whatever it be, pour out your heart before him. It speaks of an unbosoming of the care. There is another application, or shall I say, unfolding of the word pouring. The heart that is burdened. If you know what it is to pour it out before the Lord, you know in that pouring some relief, even though that which you are seeking for the Lord hath not accomplished fully. But sinner, as soon as you are enabled to pour out your heart before the Lord, the deliverance has begun. The deliverance has begun. Because that prayer, that confession, that pouring out of the heart that the Lord is the author of, he will finish. Pour out your heart before him, whatever it is. You see, do we not look at what is in our heart? And we look at it and it looks so bad, it looks so wrong, so we feel, well, before I can go to the Lord with this, I must be better than this. Perhaps there are those who sometimes, and often the Lord's people do, feel, oh, surely this cannot be the work of the Spirit. Well, if it is not the work of the Spirit, you will not make it the work of the Spirit, however hard you work at it. So concerning that which you are perplexed about, well, am I really convinced of sin rightly? Is this truly the work of the Spirit, or is it only a natural conviction? Pour out your heart. Are you troubled about it, sinner? Are you made to feel, well, if this is not the work of the Holy Spirit, then it is all vain? You know, taught by the Lord, for no other than he truly teaches this, that nothing less than his work will do. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. God, three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One refuge. One refuge. in their eternal counsels appointing in the Son a refuge, a hiding place. God said to Moses, there is a place by me. Yes, the eternal Son who was in the fullness of time to become the Son of Man, smitten for sinners, the cleft rock. There is a place by me. Yes, here is the refuge. God's only Son, smitten for sinners. The hiding place for guilty ones. The refuge for those who are condemned under the law. The refuge is, God of his pure mercy hath decreed that his people shall be saved. And in order that they shall be saved, his Son shall be their life. In order that they shall be saved, their sins were laid on him. In order that they shall be saved, he went to the end of the law for righteousness' sake. On their behalf he came forth, took their nature into union with himself, obeyed every precept of the law of God for them. He had no need of obedience for himself. He had no need of that righteousness which he wrought out in his holy life and in his sin-atoning death. That righteousness is for his people. Oh, trust in him, the Father who sent his Son, the Father's love and the dear Holy Spirit. God is a refuge. The Holy Spirit, whose office it is to convince of sin and lead to Jesus Christ. Trust in him. Oh, listen to David trusting in the Lord when he's at the end of the earth, overwhelmed. This is trusting in the Lord. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock. God is a refuge for us. But it is those two words, is it not? For us. Now listen to what Satan will tell you and your own wicked heart. They are liars. But the Lord help me to point out what they will say. You do not know he is a refuge for you. But do you know that you have no other refuge? Do you know that it will not save you coming to chapel all your life? Do you know it will not save you being a morally upright person? Do you know it will not save you knowing the letter of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation? Do you know it will not save you anything that you can do? Do you know then that the refuges of lies are refuges of lies? A refuge for us. The hymn writer said, a refuge for sinners the gospel makes known, 'tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. Now who are these us? The weary, the tempted, and burdened by sin, were never exempted from entering therein. How is the sinner to know he is a refuge for them? Venturing. Esther knew there was only one who could reverse the decree, the one who had made the decree. Sinner, do you know the decree that God hath made? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That same one that hath made that decree hath also such love to his people that he himself hath borne that curse that they might be delivered from the curse which he speaks of. venture. Mordecai directed Esther to the king, and she was persuaded to venture. I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, a shadow of a great rock in a weary land, a refuge in that he hath borne all that sentence of the law, in that in the Son giving himself he hath blotted all out all the handwriting of ordinances that were written against them, which is the law. A refuge for us. That one that feels their need of it, that one that feels their need of Christ, who feels their need of the Holy Spirit, who feels their need of the Heavenly Father, at all times, concerning all things, trust in him. Providential matters. Oh, David's religion, it was a providential and a spiritual one. He proved the Lord to be his refuge, his help, as a youth tending those sheep, the lion, the bear, then Goliath, then in preserving him from Saul, in delivering him from so many extremities, pardoning his own wretched sins, adultery and murder, delivering him from the counsel of Ahithophel, preserving him from all the dreadful insurrection of his own son Absalom. You young ones, oh, in everything your difficulties, trust in him. That help that you so much need. You are so weak in yourself. You've got so many foes. You have got so much to bear in your path if you seek to walk in the fear of God. Trust in him. This brings in another aspect of this in the trusting in him. By that faith in which you trust in him, you will be caused to attend unto his word. How can anyone be in the exercise of trusting in him and at the same time be walking opposite to his command? It cannot be. The sinner that by faith is enabled to trust in him does so in obedience unto the Lord, as far as the Lord unfolds his purpose and his word. Oh, what will you do? The unknown way. What shall you do in this matter and that? Which door is it that thou wilt open, Lord? Oh, trust in him at all times. Has he not promised to direct? Perhaps there is one here tonight, and there are two or more things possibly opening up. Now, which one is right? The Lord will make plain to you, if you are enabled to trust in him, which one is right. You might look at things and conclude, this is the right way. But no, the Lord knows the right way. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. And you who tonight are in deep providential extremities, financial need, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills, and all men's hearts are in mine hand. Trust in him. Foes advancing all around. O sinner, what a merciful God do the Lord's people have. Is he yours? Have you proved him? He has promised to be their defence. Mary, that wicked Queen Mary of Scots, said she feared John Knox on his knees more than the greatest army in the world. A sinner on their knees, unto Almighty God. Why? Because they are committing their care into the hands of the immortal, invisible, unchangeable, Almighty God, with whom nothing is impossible. And sinner, you need that God. It is not little things you need done for you, is it? It is not little things that you can do for yourself. It is impossibilities. And perhaps here tonight, oh now, the time you are in, oh it has got to the extremity, your soul or something in your life, it is impossible. Who is this one of whom David says, trust in him? It is him that says, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Trust in him at all times, ye people. Above all, and I repeat this as I close, may we be favoured to be led in this way. Trust in him at all times. When there is no appearance of his help outwardly or in your soul, there is not the deliverance. But is not the help when your soul is enabled to trust in him? Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £660, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening for the nation with an address by Mr. Izzard, and Mr. Pont is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Crowther next Lord's Day. And our friends at Oakington hold their Thanksgiving service on Wednesday evening. Part of hymn 802. We will sing verse 1 and then from verse 18 to the end. Hymn 802. Jesus, while he dwelt below, as divine historians say, to a place would often go. Near to Kedron's brook it lay, in this place he loved to be, and 'twas named Gethsemane. Hymn 802, verse 1, then verse 18 to the end.
Thank you. school, in college, and Lord, be with and help each. Oh, do gather us together on the Murray in the Father. They grant us real. Lord, as we sing to bring the nation before thee, oh, to unite us together. Gather those in with us from our neighbouring cause. And Lord, do grant us united, that it may be the force of their united cross, no power can hold us. Lord, do hear our doing to in those events expected in the coming. And Lord, do help us look to thee. Do now forgive every sin. We would ask thee for Jesus Christ. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God.